Sun on the Strip, and I'm Brock Radke, entertainment writer of the Las Vegas Sun, here to get you caught up on all the news and fun this week from the world-famous Las Vegas Strip. And there has been a lot of both happening in the past few days. So many announcements of new shows, new dates for current headliners, all leading into this upcoming weekend, which is one of the biggest of the year in terms of music and sports and entertainment in general. We've got a lot to go over today, and Cindy Moon Reed from Las Vegas Weekly is back here to help. Thanks, Cindy.
Hello. My pleasure.
Good to have you here, as usual. You went to one of the big reopening shows at the Coliseum at Caesar's Palace, and we need to find out all about that. But first, let's talk about the two new residency shows that have been announced since Saturday. RuPaul's Drag Race Live is coming to the Flamingo in January. This is a new drag review directed by RuPaul and Jamal Sims based on the wildly popular TV series of the same name. So lots of singing, dancing, comedy, and fashion, of course, with a rotating cast of seven queens in each performance. Among the announced cast members so far are Aquaria, Asia O'Hara, Coco Montrese, Derek Barry, India Farah, Kim Chi, and Naomi Smalls, some familiar names for Vegas audiences and some new performers. Presale tickets are already on sale at RuPaul'sDragRaceLive.com, and the show is scheduled to be performed at 9:30 p.m. Tuesday through Sunday, starting January 30th. The show's going to be in what is currently known as the Donnie and Marie showroom, but Donnie and Marie Osmond are, of course, wrapping up their longtime residency there this fall, so it'll probably have a different name by the time the RuPaul show opens up. Cindy, are you excited to get some more drag on the Strip?
Oh, yeah. I can't wait to go.
You were just saying that you kind of predicted that somebody would put together a show around RuPaul or involving RuPaul.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's just it's an obvious choice when you have such a big, successful brand to bring that name recognition to the Strip.
Mm-hmm. Now, it's important to note that RuPaul is not going to be in this show. I wouldn't rule out some appearances, especially in the opening weeks in the new part of the year, but this is not a headlining residency for RuPaul. It's the same creative team as the TV show. And from RuPaul's show that was at the Sahara, I guess, many years ago, back in 1994. And there will be plenty of RuPaul's music in the show, but not the star.
Oh. Yeah, I'm sure it'll still be fantastic.
Yeah. I think this could have some serious legs on the Strip. And
legs that go 1,000 miles.
Pun not intended. But it does, it kind of follows this new trend that we actually talked about on this podcast during a recent interview with the producer of Celestia, Brian Burke, who has a ton of TV credits. And he was talking about that there's opportunity in Vegas for different live entertainment interpretations of popular TV shows.
I'd watch that.
Yeah. So RuPaul's Drag Race is huge. Drag in general is kind of having a moment.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this could be a big winner for the Flamingo and Caesars Entertainment and co-producers Live Nation as well. I definitely want to go check it out.
Well, let's go.
Let's go. So moving on to something that clearly is a new headlining resident. David Lee Roth is coming to the House of Blues at Mandalay Bay. Also in January, the former Van Halen frontman opens his engagement there January 8th, 10th, and 11th. And he has six more shows scheduled in March. I'm assuming this is only the beginning of his run there since they are rolling out the R word. Tickets go on sale Saturday,
Rock?
September 14th.
Or residency.
Resident.
Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you.
I'm trying to start a thing where we call it the R word because there's so many quote unquote residency shows that are really only, you know, a few weeks long or a few dozen shows sprinkled throughout 1 year. And that doesn't really feel like an actual residency. Like, I don't need them to move to Las Vegas and mm-hmm. be here permanently, Celine style, in order for it to be a residency. But I do need a little bit more than these few shows for this one.
And that's going to be in an intimate venue. So there'll be, you know, to accommodate a lot of guests, you'll need to have a lot of performances.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll see how it goes. Tickets go on sale this Saturday. I never really thought David Lee Roth, I never considered him as a possible residency candidate, but I also didn't think much of another rock artist from that era, Billy Idol, when he started playing at the House of Blues a few years ago, and that show was successful enough for him to do quite a few shows there and then move on to do shows at the Palms this year, so we'll see how it goes. Rock from the 70s, 80s, and 90s is certainly working on the Strip right now with Aerosmith and Def Leppard and Journey coming up soon.
We got Sting coming up the Coliseum.
That's right. So bring it, bring him on. Bring on the Dave. I will be curious to see if he still does those big leaping karate kicks that he used to do in those videos, those Van Halen videos in the 80s. You don't know that signature move of David Lee Roth, do you?
Well, you might find out. They could always put him on like a lift or something.
Speaking of Aerosmith, new dates for the legendary Boston band's residency at Park Theater were also announced this week. 15 new shows in January, February, May, and June of 2020. Tickets are on sale for those this Friday. Aerosmith is back at Park Theater on September 21st.
I'm going to buy him because I don't want to miss a thing.
I did not see that one coming. I walked right into that. Have you seen that show yet or no?
No, I've been missing a thing.
You have been missing something. They've got a lot of shows there through the end of the year, so you got plenty of opportunities. Barry Manilow also has extended his gig at Westgate with new show dates in February and March. Tickets for those are on sale Monday, September 16th. And Terry Bradshaw, quarterback turned singer, storyteller, and Luxor headliner, will be back in the Atrium Showroom, shared by Carrot Top and Fantasy, on October 1st, 22nd, and 29th, and tickets for that one are on sale now. So, Cindy, you went to see Keith Urban.
Yes, sir.
Reopen the Coliseum at Caesar's Palace on Saturday night.
Mm-hmm.
You were one of the first, I guess, few thousand people to see the changes and renovations made to this room. Certainly one of the most iconic Vegas venues on the Strip ever. The most obvious, we've talked about this a lot, written about it a lot. The most obvious renovation to the room is the new standing room space right in front of the stage. And this was the first time that they tested that out. What did you think of that element?
So there was about 380 or some number of general admission seats in what used to be a sitting room only venue. Mm-hmm. And it really added to the energy of the room to have the front portion standing the whole time and they're there to party. They showed up hours before the show started to get in line to get the best GA seats. And so it definitely changed it from like a fancy feeling affair to more of a in-your-face concert.
And you've seen a lot of different kinds of shows at the Coliseum.
It turns out I have over the years. Yeah. We were just counting them up. I've seen Elton John twice. I've seen Rod Stewart, Celine Dion, Bette Midler, Mariah Carey, Tony Bennett, sans Lady Gaga. And Cher. I saw Cher there. And my favorite, Leonard Cohen. And those all had the sit-down experience. Mm. So you felt like you were going to something a little fancier, like you might put your little pinky out.
Right.
And this is a full-on, contemporary, up-to-the-minute concert.
But still, I'm sure some of those were more kind of subdued, where everyone is sitting and listening and being quieter. And yet some of those shows, Rod Stewart maybe, Elton John maybe, were a little more rockin' and upbeat and energetic.
Yeah.
Do you think the standing space really did create a different vibe from what you've experienced in that room before?
I mean, you could maybe call it peer pressure where you see all these people at the front standing, then you feel like you should stand.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say so, but some of it also was just, I think, combined with the extra light show and the visuals and the sound and I'm sure also the choice of performer, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But it felt like there was a lot more just kind of standing and dancing it was, you know, it's still a fairly intimate venue. Like, I guess the farthest you're ever going to be from the stage is 145 feet.
Right.
So it's still relatively intimate, even though it fits like more than 4,000 people in there. Mm-hmm. So you get this unique combination of like a intimate feel with the like punch and power of almost an arena rock concert.
Yeah. I wrote about the Coliseum for this week's issue of Las Vegas Weekly. And what I love most about the room is just like the grandeur of it and the luxury feeling that you get in there. I didn't go to either of these Keith Urban shows, but I did visit the venue last week. And I was pretty happy to see that that aspect of the experience hasn't changed and has probably been strengthened, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Did you? I think you made that same observation, right?
Well, even if you don't sit in them much, like the chairs are like so comfortable. They have like fabulous lumbar support.
Always important in Las Vegas.
And then like you can even just tell with like the carpet, like you get that kind of like plush new feeling when you're walking on this like gorgeous bright red carpet that, you know, casino carpeting, you don't always get that nice brand new feeling. And then I don't know if I noticed this, but maybe because I just wasn't having to wait in line, but they have redesigned the merch areas and expanded the bars, so there's going to be less waiting to buy a drink, which for me is maybe the most important improvement any venue can do.
It is important, and I felt like the Coliseum was kind of already the best at that, of like getting into the theater, getting your drink, you know, going out to go to the bathroom. That's an important part of the concert experience too. If you paid a bunch of money for a ticket and you're seeing this amazing artist, but the ins and outs of the venue are not up to snuff, that can really ruin it. You know, that can leave you with a bad impression. So I think the Coliseum has always done that really well. So it's pretty cool that they're trying to hone in on those things and make them even better. What about the, there's new lights, there's new sound system, there's a new giant LED screen. Did those kind of production elements shine at the show that you saw?
I mean, definitely you can tell that all three of those are just really fantastic. The sound is crystal and clear, so you don't get kind of that sound spread that you get when you have a lot of amplification. So if somebody's, say, playing the acoustic guitar, you have a really like crisp sound to it, even as it's hugely loud. I actually wore earplugs for most of the performance because I'm a nerd like that. But
you're smart like that. That's what it is.
And then it felt like looking. I mean, the screen, these like it's like a 4K LED screen. It's so crisp. I swear I saw Keith Urban's like 5 o'clock shadow grow in throughout the course of the concert.
That's resolution.
Yeah. And, you know, and then also they can do a lot of the fun video tricks. So it kind of felt like watching a music video in real time happen before you. So I would say it was really, you know, an amazing job. I asked the press contact how much they spent on it, and they said they would not reveal the price of the upgrades, but they said it was, quote, a significant amount of money, end quote. And I think you can really see that when you go.
Caesars and Live Nation are going to be bringing in plenty of new acts to the Coliseum, including new residencies and one-offs and limited engagements and different things. I'm going to put you on the spot a little bit. Who would you like to see in that room? Now that you've been there and you know how the renovations have panned out, is there any, it doesn't even have to be a musical performer, is there anybody that you would just really love to see in this new Coliseum?
You know, I think, this really is putting me on the spot.
I should have warned you. And you've seen so many different artists in there, too.
If I could bring Leonard Cohen back from the dead to perform there again, I would do that.
Book it up, Live Nation. Come on, make it happen.
I think a Paul McCartney residency there would be outstanding.
That would be insane.
I'd love to see a Barack Obama and Michelle
there you go.
Concert.
You're thinking outside the box now. I like it.
Who else? Oh, gee.
Well, the Coliseum did just announce another country act that's coming in the new year. Little Big Town is going to be making a tour stop there in April. Of course, they still have Reba and Brooks and Dunn scheduled for some more shows this year around rodeo time in December, I believe. And then Journey, a rock act again, opens there in October.
Beyonce. That's who I think could really make the best use of the combination of standing room only and the high tech. So bring Beyonce.
That would be like the get of all gets, right?
It would, especially if she had Barack and Michelle as her opener. Or either way.
I think we might be getting off the path here. I don't see that one happening.
One other thing that I did want to mention was there's now VIP seating where they have banquettes with cocktail service. So if you want that ultra luxe experience, you can have it. And also, when I was at the concert, I happened to speak with the designers, these people from, I guess you're going to pronounce it, Sino Plus, from Montreal. And I was speaking to the vice president of design, and I said, can I dance on the banquettes? Can I stand on them? And he said, yes.
Did he check to see if you were wearing heels first?
You'd think he would. You know, I'm not saying that Caesars is going to be cool with that, but Benoit is cool with that.
So, not a complete cosign, but we're not saying you should do that.
But, you know, maybe.
But it might be possible to do that.
I would ask the security guard before you step up on there, but at least the heart of the design was made with danceable VIP banquettes.
Mm-hmm. They thought of everything.
Mm-hmm.
Cindy, I always appreciate your unique observations here on the Sun on the Strip. Thanks so much.
Thank you. Next time I'll come with more puns.
This week also marks the beginning of a special limited engagement at the Tropicana. Frank Marino, who's headlined on the Strip for decades and shows at the Riviera and Imperial Palace and Link in his own drag reviews, is joining the cast of Legends in Concert, the longest-running show on the Strip. If you're reading my Curtain Up Thursday show column at LasVegasSun.com, you already know about this very Vegas collaboration, and you probably have your tickets in hand. But I wanted to share a bit more of my interview with Frank Marino, who's also going to be retiring his iconic impression of Joan Rivers when this Legends run is done.
This is really big news to me to have you and Legends coming together like this. How did this collaboration come about?
Believe it or not, we've been working on it for over 10 years. But every time we wanted to do it, it was just not the right timing. So one time I was available, one time they were available, back and forth. And finally, we figured it out. So, they're the longest running show on the Strip, and I'm the longest running headliner. So the marriage is perfect.
That seems like a really great home for that show, too. Again, another kind of classic Vegas vibe over there at the Trump.
Exactly. And I'll tell you, there's pictures backstage. Joan Rivers herself, to make it even more important, has performed there many times.
Have you ever performed at the Trop, even in just like a one-off thing or a charity thing or anything like that?
Yes. There used to be the Las Vegas Museum over there. I don't know if you remember that. And I had, not performed, but I had my costumes and a lot of Vegas history people. I had like costumes and what would you call it? Paraphernalia in there that had to do with me.
Well, I guess this will be your first proper performance at the Tropicana then.
This will be my first proper performance. And I'm really excited because it's really bringing, not to be hokey, three legends together. The show, the hotel, and the Frank Marino Joan Rivers part.
I was taken aback a little bit when I actually read the press release and realized that you're going to be retiring the character of Joan Rivers during this engagement. I don't know, is that something that's going to be difficult for you, or is it something that's going
to
be...
I tried to take Joan out a few times in the show, my Diva show. And every time I took it out, people would write letters, oh, we love the Joan Rivers, just do a little bit, da-da-da-da-da. But I think I think where it needs to be is in Legends, and I don't know if you know this, but there's a clip. 27 years ago, I predicted, you know how like the Simpsons cartoon predicted little things like Lady Gaga at the Super Bowl and Donald Trump becoming president. I was on the Joan Rivers show, and she says to me, what would you, if you impersonate me for a living, what would you do if I died? And I said, I would have to join Legends in concert. Well, she fell off her chair. The audience went crazy, and I've saved that clip because it was so adorable. And now, unfortunately, Joan has passed, and it's not even an impression anymore. It's a tribute to her because, to me, she'll always be the queen of comedy, especially just for female stand-up, and much better than many of the men, in my opinion. But all that being said, I think it's time now because Joan has passed, and it needs to be in a show like Legends. So what a great honor to be able to close the character in Legends. And when I continue my Diva show in the beginning of the year of 2020, I will just do what I do for the rest of the show, my femme fatale character, and I'll bring all the celebrity impersonators on. Say, and the reason I – well, somebody would say, well, how are you doing a show like that and not doing a famous character? I think after 35 years, I've actually made a little bit of a name for myself, so I will be the star I'm impersonating.
What can you say about the new show that you've been working on? Is it still going to be called Divas? Can you say anything about where it might be or what kind of show it might be?
Yes, it'll be the exact same show type that I was always doing. It'll be in a little smaller venue that will be called the Divas Cabaret. We'll be doing two shows a night, 7 and 9 p.m. It's in the heart of the Las Vegas Strip. I just don't want to say where, and I'll explain in a moment why. But that would open. I'll be in Legends from September 11th to the 19th of November. Then I take a little bit of a break in which I will get all the choreography and all the sets built and everything for the new showroom, build it out. And I think that's the only accolade that I haven't gotten that I want, which would be a showroom named after me. So we're going to have the Frank Marino's Divas Cabaret Room.
Did you just say first quarter is when that show will open?
Yes, I'll open. Actually, I know the date, February 6th. My plan is to announce it on my birthday, which is a day after Legends in Concert last night. So I perform the 19th for them, and then I'll do my own thing on the 20th because I want to basically keep the two separate because right now it's all on Legends. It's all about Legends for me right now. I just want to do a really good job for them. What I'm really excited about is I get to go in stress-free and just worry about my act. I don't have to worry if somebody stubbed their toe or something happened with one of my dancers or somebody can't make it in, because sometimes you get so stressed out it's hard to do what you're really there to do, which is, for me, performing. So now it'll just feel like, you know, easy breezy, go in a great mood and come home in a great mood.
Mm-hmm.
And I like the fact that I'll make new friends, new people. I know, excuse me, in between Lacage and Divas, it was a shorter break, but it was like 6 months. And I went in Tony and Tina's wedding as a guest star, and that I really enjoyed.
Mm-hmm.
My problem is I get attached to people, and then I get upset when I have to leave.
You can see Frank Marino and Legends in concert September 11th through November 19th at the Trop. The show runs nightly except Sundays. Palms Mega Club Chaos is planning to unveil the Chaos Dome on Halloween. It's a 70-foot-tall transparent dome that will cover 33,000 square feet of space on the day club and nightclub's west side, allowing for daytime and nighttime pool parties to continue through the fall and winter, all the way until March. Now, this isn't completely new. The dome was announced as part of the club's initial rollout in January, but very little has been said about it since then. And there's no other day club or pool club that currently maintains operations year-round, with Marquee at the Cosmopolitan being the only occasional exception. They've been using a temporary structure to throw winter pool parties in the past, but did not do so last year. In order to set up the Chaos Dome, the Palms Club will go dark starting this week, September 15th, and then reopen on Halloween night with Cardi B headlining a huge Demon Dome party with a Mad Max theme on October 31st. Also recently announced alt-rock band 311 is coming back to Vegas for its annual 311 Day festivities. That would be March 11th for a three-night stay at Park Theater. So it'll be March 11th through 13th, three shows with state-of-the-art production and different set lists and all sorts of other surprises planned. Tickets go on sale for those shows Friday, September 20th. Coming up this weekend, way up on the north end of the Strip, the Strat will host professional skateboarders Theodis Beasley, Kern Capels, Chris Cookie Colborn, and NBA draft pick Bol Bol for an event on Friday, partnering with Mountain Dew. The soda brand is sponsoring the Sky Jump Ride, an open-air controlled descent with speeds topping 40 miles an hour from 850 feet above the Strip, an attraction that holds the Guinness World Record as the highest commercial decelerator descent facility. Ooh. So these extreme athletes and this future NBA player are going to help launch this partnership, and some of the people in attendance at the event will have the opportunity to win a jump spot along with these athletes. I'm definitely sitting this one out. Have fun, Strat. The USA Today Food and Wine Experience, coming to the Las Vegas Festival Grounds on October 26th, has announced its lineup, and it looks fantastic. There are plenty of MGM Resorts restaurants represented, of course, like the new Ombre, Border Grill, Diablo's Cantina, Le Cirque, the upcoming Vagabond at Excalibur, and more. But there are lots of off-strip restaurants and chefs participating as well, like Sparrow and Wolf, Shiraz, Served, La Monja, BBD's, and Bahamar Seafood. It looks like a great cross-section of the Vegas culinary scene at the moment. I'm definitely looking forward to it. It's 1 to 4 p.m. on Saturday, October 26th, and tickets start at $65. You can find them at wineandfood.usatoday.com. What is taking over the Strip this week on the convention front? The International Baking Expo wraps up today, Wednesday, at the Las Vegas Convention Center. The projected attendance this year was 23,000. And the 2019 edition of Mr. Olympia, which encompasses both the bodybuilding and fitness event at the Orleans Arena just west of the Strip and the accompanying convention Friday and Saturday at the Orleans Hotel and the Las Vegas Convention Center, is estimated to attract 45,000 visitors this year. This is a huge Vegas weekend. There's that stuff. We also have our second NASCAR event of the year, the South Point 400 weekend and Monster Energy Cup Series race out at the Speedway. But the thing that's really taking over is Mexican Independence Day weekend. It's such a huge weekend for tourism every year. I've written a lot in recent years about how it's become a big music weekend too, and not just a big fight weekend, which was the previous kind of dominant tradition this time of year. There is a fight at T-Mobile Arena on Saturday, Tyson Fury versus Otto Wallen, but there's a ton of music. Here are just some of the big concerts from Latin performers on the Strip this week. Carlos Santana at the House of Blues, Luis Miguel at the Coliseum, Daddy Yankee at the Chelsea, Café de Cuba at Mandalay Bay Beach, Marco Antonio Solis at Mandalay Bay Event Center, Gloria Trevi at Zappos Theater, Maluma at Mandalay Bay Event Center, Enrique Iglesias at the Coliseum, Maná at MGM Grand Garden Arena, Mark Anthony at Zappos Theater, and Alejandro Fernandez at Mandalay Bay Event Center. Wow. My one big show this week is going to be Bruno Mars back at Park Theater. He has concert at Park MGM Friday and Saturday. These are the last two Bruno shows currently on the schedule. So this could be the close of his multi-year residency on the Strip, or maybe he'll add some more dates. He's not touring right now, so we'll see what happens. But his shows have been mostly selling out, so I wouldn't be surprised if MGM finds another weekend this year to squeeze in some more Bruno Mars. That's going to do it for this episode of The Sun on the Strip. Please subscribe to this podcast on Apple Podcasts so you won't miss a single episode. You can also find this and other podcasts at lasvegassun.com/podcast. Thanks so much for listening. Catch you next week.